Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we come to the last of a series of meetings of Bible studies, which we have titled The Personal Glories of Our Lord Jesus Christ. And thus far on the broadcast, we've seen the glory of his exaltation, the glory of his vindication, the glory of his coronation, and today, with the help of the Lord, we wish to consider the glory of his possessions. And we're going to be reading in the fifth chapter of the book of Revelation. You may follow in your Bible if you wish. Chapter 5 of the book of Revelation, verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. Now we must say here that the book that has been translated as book in the Authorized Version is really a roll. It's a roll, a sheepskin rolled up. They wrote on those in those days. And this really is a title deed, as we shall see in a few moments. Verse 2, and I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, John says, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book or the roll, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. Now this is strange. It's a paradox. One of the elders said, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, he has prevailed to open the book. And when John looks, he doesn't see a lion. He sees a lamb. And they are one and the same person. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah and the Lamb of God. The lamb speaks of his submissiveness, and the lion speaks of his great power. And our Lord Jesus is perfectly at home with his humility and perfectly at home with his majesty. So he takes the book, as we read in verse 7. He came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. Now I want you to notice the reaction of those in this glorious scene, this heavenly scene, when he takes that book. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign over the earth. Now these people, when the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lamb of God, takes this role, which is the title deed of the universe, it is his. That's the way that they kept their title deeds in those days. They sealed them with seals, and no one could open that seal but the one to whom the ground, the possession belonged, and that which was recorded in the title deed. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ takes this roll with the seven seals thereon, and immediately the four beasts and the 24 elders fall prostrate before the Lamb. So great is their anticipation. At last he's going to come into his possessions. They are overcome with wonder and worship and awe when they realize that the Lord Jesus Christ at last is going to come into his possessions. This world as it is now spoken of in the scriptures is indeed under the sovereignty Perhaps that's just not the word. Under the control of Satan. He is the god of this world, so-called, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Called the god of this world. These people realize Christ is going to take over. Satan is going to be disposed, and Christ is going to take over, and they fall down and worship before him. Now they sung a song, and the song was this: Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Now there are two groups of people here, as we shall read very shortly. Well, I'll read it now, verse 11. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000s, and thousands of thousands. Now the angels and the redeemed are present here in the 24 elders. Now notice, please, the elders only sing, the angels do not sing. Because, notice please, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Well, the angels do not have national affiliations, and they do not have tongues affiliations or families or people's affiliations. Only the redeemed will be singing on this occasion. But the angels have some marvelous things to say, as we will be reading personally, when they realize that Christ is going to come into his possessions. He's going to take them over. The book is his. And they are just sublime in their worship of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's taken the book and he's going to come into his possessions. They have realized the havoc that has been wrought by Satan and all his angels, under which the world is now under control. He is the god of this world, so called by the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 4 and 5. So these people are ecstatic. They're happy. They're worshiping. But I notice, will you please notice how the redeemed put this? They sung a new song saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. Part of that possession by these redeemed ones is that, Lord, we are your possession. You bought us with your precious blood. Oh, the worship of these people. Thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Oh, they have a right to worship. How wonderful it is indeed when they realize that at last the Lord is going to come into his own. Their hearts just go out to him for his joy, because he's taken the book with the seven seals, the roll, I perhaps should say, with the seven seals, and is going to come into his possessions, the glory of them. But now I want you to notice, please, that the angels have something too to say about this. Verse 11, we'll read it over again for the sake of connection. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And those of you that listen to Handel's Messiah, can't you just hear the grand chorus singing these words? And power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Seven things are attributed to the Lord here that he deserves because he's going to open this book. I think this is worthy of our occupation for a few moments here. They ascribe power to the Lord Jesus because he was crucified through weakness. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4 we read, For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. These are compensatory things that they ascribe to him. They want to see his shame rectified. They want to see him vindicated, if you please. And so they say, "In first of all, you're worthy to receive power. Power is ascribed to him because he was crucified through weakness. Riches, because he became poor for our sake." In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9 we read, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." Oh, how poor he became at the cross. He didn't even have his clothes on him. Everything was gone, so to speak, they thought. But he was purchasing us with his own precious blood, so great was his love. Riches are ascribed to him because he became poor. Wisdom is ascribed to him because he owned our foolishness. In Psalm 69, that wonderful psalm of the sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ, we read there in that wonderful psalm, verse 4, "They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head." The Lord Jesus Christ is speaking. "They are more than the hairs of my head. They that would destroy me and be mine enemies wrongfully are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee." Someone immediately says, "Now this can't be talking about the Lord. His foolishness? His sins?" Oh, yes, it is. It's talking about the Lord because he owned our foolishness. He owned our sins. And thus it is. He is owning them. May I say this? If the Lord Jesus Christ had not identified himself with our sins and our foolishness, there would be no redemption for us. But all our iniquities were laid upon him, and he owned them. He speaks of my sins, my foolishness. So what do the angels ascribe to him? Wisdom for that lack of foolishness which he suffered. Strength, because he said, "My strength is dried up like a potsherd," in Psalm 22 and 15. So they ascribe to him strength. He was crucified through weakness. Honor, because he was the song of the drunkard. We read in Psalm 69 and verses 11 and 12 that he was actually the song of the drunkards, so they ascribe honor to him in a compensatory form. Glory, because he said, "Shame hath covered my face," Psalm 67 and 69 rather, and 7. And then they ascribe blessing to him because he was cursed, reviled, and as he was indeed on the cross, they said, "Let God deliver him now." And the thieves cast the same thing in his teeth. Oh, they ascribe these 7 wonderful things to the Lord. They're so worthy of our notice. Our Father, today we thank you for the Lord Jesus that suffered so for us. May we ascribe to him all the glories that are his when he takes over the possessions that he died to redeem. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.